House Bill 3088 relating to electrical trade license fees. And Lori, do you want to?
Chair Clark, members of the subcommittee, real briefly, House Bill 3088 raises electrical fees for three different programs. One is the electrical contractor fee for place of business. It raises that fee from $125 to $175. It raises the general journeyman electrician fee from $100 to $135, and the general supervising electrician fee from $100 to $135. These fees are fees that are in statute, which is why there's a bill before us to look at, as opposed to many of the other fees in the Building Codes Division that are raised through the rule process. So it's kind of a difference. We touched on this briefly when we had the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget hearings. There was discussion about need to raise additional revenues in the electrical program. This is one way to get that done. The department also discussed options of raising the electrical permit fees during the next biennium to cover any revenue needs.
Can you explain to us, this electrical contractor fee is an annual fee.
Yes.
An electrician license are renewed every 3 years.
Yes, the first fee is an annual fee, which is renewed October 1st of every year.
And that's $125 to $175.
Mm-hmm. The other two fees are good for 3 years.
3 years, okay. I appreciate you clarifying that.
Okay, we have Joe Brewer and Joe Landry. Come on up, please.
Introduce yourself for the record, if you would.
Morning, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Brewer. I'm the administrator at the Building Codes Division. Staff did a very good job explaining the bill. It's fairly straightforward. The division, in analyzing its revenue needs for the upcoming biennium, approached industry, looked at options. Industry stepped up to the plate and agreed to submit a bill that would raise licensing fees for the first time since the late 1980s. The division appreciates that and acknowledges the industry's willingness to do so. Division feels as though raising licensing fees to meet revenue needs is a much more equitable means of generating this revenue, because the division, as you know, serves only the rural areas of the state. Were we to raise our permit fees, that would obviously create a situation where those citizens in those rural areas would be carrying the burden of the division's revenue requirements. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
You know, saying that the fee is being raised $35 on this one fee doesn't tell me very much. I wish there were some way I knew what the total costs that an electrical contractor was bearing would be. I wish there were some way I could know his total expense burden as it relates to government and fees and taxes and permits. I don't suppose that's at all possible, because $35 is not even the tip of the iceberg. It's just a tiny, tiny bit of the total burden that these guys are carrying. And I wonder how they do it.
Through the chair to Representative Hayden, your question is a difficult one to get your arms around. We could certainly bring back information regarding the cost for electrical contractors to be licensed with the division. We could approximate costs related to other regulatory areas, for instance, CCB. But the actual cost of permits, et cetera, are really based on project values. So it would be difficult for us to approximate the total impact of regulation on the electrical industry, although we'd be happy to work with staff and try and generate any information that might be helpful.
Madam Chair, I don't think so, unless we did it on a statewide basis. You know, that's where it would have applicability, because these people, they pay state taxes, they pay federal taxes, they pay corporate taxes, they pay electrical fees, they pay property taxes, you know. And some of my fiscal analysts have estimated that these people are paying 60 or 70% of their gross collections altogether, you know, and it doesn't leave much margin. And the reason this is on my mind, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who was in the electrical business and just went bankrupt. And of course, he's in great despair. And he didn't mention to me that he was supportive of these fees. I didn't specifically ask him, do you support House Bill 3088? But he didn't bring it up. He didn't say, oh boy, I'm really glad, even though I've gone bankrupt, I'm really glad that we have the opportunity in the industry to pay $35 more. Madam Chair, we were also recently told that the nurses supported, in full committee, we were told that the nurses supported, widely supported, a heavy increase in the payments to board members. And so I went home and asked my wife, who's a registered nurse, I said, did anybody ask you about this? And she said, well, no. No. Now, she said, it may have been in some of the letters that I get and don't read, but I didn't tell anybody that that was a good thing. So I think we're often told industry really supports this, and industry is not widely surveyed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, in looking at the total license revenues, other funds being raised as a result of this, just wanted to make certain that as we had passed out the Building Codes Division, Department of Consumer Business Affairs budgets, that we had in effect taken these into consideration, that they would become effective July 1st, 2001.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, my understanding is that the fee increase is prospective, and depending on which approach is used, that fee increase will meet a revenue need that the division has to get through the upcoming biennium. So if this bill is successful and is passed, the division will not be raising its permit fees in the upcoming biennium.
So, Lori.
Representative Butler, Chair Carno. Yes, it is my understanding that the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget included revenues adequate to fund the Building Codes Electrical Program. Whether those revenues end up coming from this license fee increase, or whether the department has to go forward and raise electrical permit fees to cover those revenues.
The budget assumes the 25.
It assumes this increase in revenue, whether it's through the permit fees or through the licensing fees.
Mm-hmm. And just by way of clarification, this is the first time since the 1980s. Do we know when in 1980? Because the first one is a 40% increase, and that's an annual. And then the second two are 35% increase over 3 years.
Representative Butler, Chair Carno, I went back and looked at the Oregon laws, and to the best information I could find was that those fees were either implemented or the last time they were increased was in
1985.
Just because I've seen too many of them in this session, they've been frustrating me. What would happen if you didn't have an emergency clause in this? I know the basics, you collect less money. It doesn't implement until later, but what impact would that have on your budget?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, the impact it would have on our budget is simply that then we would have to look for economies to realize the savings necessary to offset the revenue shortfall. And that may involve holding positions vacant. It may involve foregoing expenses. About 74% of the division's budget is personnel, payroll. So that's really the only force we have to ride, as it were, with respect to saving dollars. So what we would have to do likely is hold some positions open for an extended period of time, try to find a way to meet that need. What we continue to hear from industry is they want our service to be timely and consistent. And obviously when we can't bring staff on in a fashion to meet that need for timeliness, that impacts industry.
So you had no specific plan? You just assumed you were going to get this increase in one form or another?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, the division's budget is built on going into the permit fee increase July 1st.
I understand that, but that was predicated on coming through the legislature for an increase. I'm just wondering, you didn't ever consider the possibility that you might not get it?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, yes, we did. As I said, The approach would be to hold positions vacant through attrition. When individuals leave and go to other jurisdictions, retire, we'd hold those positions vacant.
Right, but you can't give us specifics as to, I mean, if we're asking, how would this impact your, the service you give? What would be held open? What wouldn't you be doing? I mean, each one of those people does specific things. If you hold a, if you don't fill a position for a few months, then those things aren't done as well.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, exactly, positions that we got in the budget, we received in the budget through the Ways and Means process, would be the ones that we would hold vacant. So inspections would be less timely on the prison project. Inspections would be less timely on the light rail project. We'd likely hold that position open for a period of time because the first several months of that position are related to training to get that individual up to speed. We did look at it. I don't have a plan prepared today to provide you. I can certainly put that together.
Senator Dukes, Chair Carno, members of the subcommittee, if you'll recall, during the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget presentation, we had extensive conversation around the electrical program fees and the needed increases. As a result of that, in the DCDS budget report for 0103, there is a budget note for building codes to look at the electrical program specifically, look at the revenues, the fees, the expenditures necessary, the interagency charges, the central service support charges, to look and see where they can find efficiencies and try to reduce some of the fee impacts of the program. It appears to me at this point in time it would be difficult for the department to estimate what kind of reduction would be workable and still allow them to implement key pieces of their program. It was my understanding that the budget note helped the subcommittee kind of address that issue.
And I understand that, and that's for the future. But I would be hard-pressed to accept that any agency couldn't determine what the impact would be to not getting a fee increase. I mean, if they're in that bad a shape, we need more help than a fee increase we did. We need fiscal help.
Senator Clarno, I don't think this is enough. Would the subcommittee prefer to give this bill a little bit of time and have the department come back with some additional information on that particular topic?
Not me. I think we've hit the point in the session for me when I've had it up to here with mm-hmm. the emergency clauses, because every third bill or maybe every second bill has one. And if you ever read the emergency clause, it's just, it doesn't even relate to what we're doing. So it's kind
like
of like
a habit.
Yes. And now we seem to be in a big hurry to raise all these fees, and so it's just irritating.
Representative Butler.
Chair, just by way of refreshing my recollection, are we experiencing a great building boom? The items that have been referenced by the director are the prison and the light rail. Other than the prison and light rail, are we experiencing a great building boom out there, or are we just maintaining the department so that we can, if the building boom comes back, we'll have the people in place to be able to help these nice folks that need this electrical?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, the division's budget request is for a current service level budget. What the division is proposing is to maintain its current service level through the upcoming biennium. I was reviewing the economist's forecast for the construction area just Friday. It indicates slow growth. I believe it was in the neighborhood of 2%, and that's what our budget is built on, is slow growth, relatively flat condition in the construction industry.
Question on the revenue impact here, where it says the governor's recommended budget assumes a 25% increase in electrical permit fees to provide sufficient revenue for the agency's electrical safety program. I know we probably had that before us, but we have an idea of what that generated. We know what these license fee increase.
Senator Clarno, it's my understanding that the amount is about the same because it's the amount of revenue that's needed to support the program in the biennium.
So they're both about the same.
The equivalent amount of revenue generated.
So in lieu of permit fees, we are allowing an increase, or this is a request to increase the annual fees of the various the various construction contractors themselves.
As correct as possible.
As opposed to buildings themselves.
The annual fee and then the two that are 3 years.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Representative Hayden and then Representative Johnson.
Oh, just for background, Madam Chair, maybe this is one of the problems of long-term legislators, because when I first started the process, about 1985, I too asked, why does this bill have an emergency clause in it? It doesn't seem like an emergency to me. What is it, Lori? If it doesn't have the emergency clause, it's 90 days after sign and die?
90 days after. Well, no. Actually, January 1st, 2002. Now, that's changed.
Okay. You know, excuse me. So, you know, a lot of these, apparently some of these things do become habit and rubber stamping and just routine. I mean, we're just used to it. And we don't even look. We didn't see it.
Representative.
She saw it. Isn't that interesting?
Representative Chair Clarno.
She got a lot of rest over the weekend.
If I may, in this particular situation with this bill, since it is related somewhat to the Department of Consumer and Business's budget, since those budgets are based on the whole biennium, a lot of times the revenue required would be based on that whole time frame. So I think that's why this particular bill has an emergency clause to align it with the department's budget. But I agree that there are a lot of bills out there with emergency clauses that you often wonder why. Anyway, the date is 6 months, actually January 1st, 2002, unless there's some specific provision in the bill.
And I get a lot of questions from people who write me and say, why is this bill such an emergency? They, you know, they're asking as well. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Conspicuous by their absence today in the hearing are the trades.
Yeah. Chair Clarno, members of the committee.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. We haven't had you speak. Now is the time.
Yeah, I'm Joe Landry. I represent the National Electrical Contractors Association and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. We keep these fees in statute so that we can have an ongoing dialogue with the department. And we do talk about, since our fees are directly dedicated, we talk about what services we're getting for our money, what things need to be improved, things like that. We've been, generally, the department's been responsive to the things that we've talked to them about. And like I said, this, or like it's been said, these fees have been increased for a long time, and we realize the need to increase these fees to maintain the current service levels. And we agree with the department that it's a more equitable way to fund this current service level than just increasing permit fees in the rural parts of Oregon. We can increase these license fees statewide and maintain that service level.
Representative Hayden.
You know, another habit we have is to do budgets by current service level, but there are other ways of doing it. One of them is zero-based budgeting, and another is inflation-based budgeting. What if your budget is set at not current service level, but to compensate for inflation? Because, as I understand it, you're sort of in a quiet time now. There's not a lot going on.
Chair Clarno, Representative Hayden. Is that a question for the department more than me?
Madam Chair, Representative. Madam Chair, Representative Hayden. I'm frankly not qualified to answer that question either. I would have to turn that over to the agency's fiscal department, let them do some analysis to determine what the impact would be. Certainly there are many ways to build a budget to set one in place. And we'd be happy to take a look at that.
Madam Chair, excuse me, Representative Johnson.
How widely have your members been made aware of this? And what's the mechanism for informing?
Yeah, generally we have a legislative committee that's made up of volunteers from the industry and for the electrical contractors, and then we also discuss it with the business managers from the local IBW unions.
So you're satisfied that this has been widely vetted in the industry?
Yeah, well, we're satisfied that the representatives of the industry have discussed it. Yeah.
Madam Chair, if I might, Madam Chair, if I might add to Joe's comments, Representative Johnson, The division also works with the independent electrical contractors, the independent, the open shops. We attend their meetings. I, for instance, attended a meeting that was held in Tualatin where I shared this with all of their members that were present. I believe it's sent out in newsletters. We were talking to the representative of the independent electrical contractors just prior to coming in into the hearing. He's not here this morning, so I assume he has no feedback or input for the committee on this bill.
But you were speaking with him out in the hall earlier today?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, yes, that's correct, about this bill specifically.
Ouch. That was an excuse me.
Now, because these seizures statute, they have not yet been implemented, this isn't a situation where they were implemented last July and you're seeking ratification?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that's correct.
So these have not been implemented. This would be brand new.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that's correct.
I see that as a positive thing, having them in statute, so that they're not implemented 18 months before we have a chance to look at them.
Which has happened. Representative Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I understand the testimony that's been given here today, that if the emergency clause were withdrawn from the enhancement of these particular fees, that these fees would not go into effect until January 1st of 2001, which would in effect perhaps slow down or interrupt or not provide for the training time, positions in training time of folks that are that would otherwise be working on prison light rails, and recognizing that we've got ongoing prison construction, ongoing light rail activities, I'm questioning whether or not it wouldn't be a good idea to go ahead and delete the emergency clause. And maybe in that regard, then these folks who otherwise would be filling the positions for light rail and prison construction would continue to be those people who already are assisting and have assisted while we've been ongoing in the construction of prisons and light rails over the last 10 years.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Any comments? Representative Hayden.
Well, it's a very attractive suggestion, but I'm a little troubled by the fact that it would be so narrowly targeted. If that concept were addressed more widely, because as I say, many of the agencies have been collecting these fees since July 1 of last year. And even if we deny their fee, they don't give the money back. They keep it. Now, these people have it in statute, and they come and they ask appropriately. To further delay their fee increase, which I'm willing to do, I'm willing to remove the emergency clause, but I sense a lack of equity here because some agencies are home free with 18 months in their pocket and an emergency clause or whatever that keeps it going without interruption. And so these folks, they're 2 years behind the other people.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I certainly do not want to downplay the effect of the discussion with Representative Hayden, but I fail to see an emergency coming in today and asking for a fee that hasn't been increased for 21 years or for 16 years since 1985. I'm having some difficulty reaching out and putting my arms now, I'm using Mr. Brewer's words, reaching around and putting my arms around an emergency that's 16 years old.
Madam Chair, if I might comment about the emergency clause. The division conducts renewal of licensees on a regular schedule. My recollection, and I'd like to check on this to make certain, is that one of those renewal cycles begins October 1st. Of this year. So the effect of removing the emergency clause in this case, and I believe that's why it was put on the bill, was so that the fees would be in place in time for that renewal of one-third of the licensees. So if we fail to maintain the emergency clause, then the revenue would be reduced disproportionately. And I don't have that figure with me, but certainly we can get that figure and get back to the the committee with what the impact would be.
Perhaps one of you can answer for me. Where I read here previously that the budget for the building codes division assumes a 25% increase in electrical permit fees. If the economy is projected to be really slow, has your industry discussed if they'd rather not going to have many permit fees needed, would they rather have the increase be in the permit fees rather than in the licensees?
Chair Clarino, I think even with the slowdown, I think to have the staff on hand that are trained and can do provide the type of services that we're looking for, I think it would be better to have a solid source of revenue that comes with the renewal cycle rather than rely on the permit fees to then fund those positions and have them in place.
So what you're saying is if the permit fees were in place and the economy really takes a slowdown, there wouldn't be the generation of the funds in order to keep the staff there, that the people that were out building and doing electrical work would not be able to have the inspections and get them. Okay.
Chair Clarino, that's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? If not, thank you, gentlemen, very much, and we'll have hear from Sakish.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, this is Satish Upadhyay with the Department of Administrative Services. This is not a governor's bill, so we do not have any comments to make, although I understand from the Department of Business and Consumer and Business Services that they support this bill. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
I would like to ask Satish a question. Satish, we just understood that perhaps this department isn't divided in quarterly amounts as every 6 months, but might in fact be renewing licenses on a one-third basis, one-third of all licenses, so that relative to that, at least as to a portion of this, it could mean a little more than $135,000 reduction. Do you have any comment on that?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, if it's a one-third renewal of licenses, I would assume that the revenues would be down by one-third, but we would need to verify the figures from the department.
Do you know whether or not they renew in between July 1st through December 31st, or did it renew in January?
I don't know that, Representative.
Representative Butler, Chair Clarino. These particular three fees in statute are renewed as of October 1st, whether it's annual or every 3 years, on the October 1 date. I'm sure there are other fees in the division that are renewed at different times and on a different basis. I believe that it is difficult to address specifically how much revenue would be reduced if we eliminated that first renewal cycle, because depending on how many of those licensees come up for renewal in October, it may be a third of the population, but it could be somewhat skewed based on the number of licensees who were due in October. So in order to really look at that closely, we'd have to go back to the agency and have them identify the number of licensees that renew.
We were going to ask the agency anyway what effect it would have if it didn't have the emergency clause, so that would be important to know that, I think, too.
Madam Chair?
Senator Dukes?
So they couldn't prorate the increase? I mean, I don't know. Remember what it's going to from this to this, but if they knew that you renewed in October and in January the increase was going to go up, they couldn't prorate it?
Is that what you're saying?
Maybe they can't. I don't know.
Maybe they could prorate it and reduce, but I'm saying I don't know how many licensees are due in October. It might be a third of that licensee base. It could be a lot less. It could be a lot more. So the impact, the revenue impact, is real specific to how many licenses are actually due October 1, 2001, because that's every 3 years is when that renewal cycle is. So it kind of depends how that and unless that load's real even, Mr. Brewer, I don't know if it is.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again for the record, my name is Joe Brewer, Administrator of the Building Codes Division. There is an imbalance in the renewal cycle, and frankly, I'm not certain which group is being renewed as of October 1st. There's
lean year, and then there's one year that's slightly heavier. We can certainly do that analysis, get it back to the committee. With respect to, Madam Chair, with respect to Senator Duke's question regarding prorating the fees, our understanding is that without statutory authority to do so, we're allowed only to charge the fee that's in statute.
As it's a three-year cycle on one of these, a couple are annual, but one's 3 years, does that mean that does everybody pay the fee this October, or do approximately one-third pay this October, one-third next October, and another one-third the following October?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, again, my recollection is that there is 1 year in that cycle that's larger than the other two.
Yeah, but it is spread over 3 years. I mean, it's the guys
that's
are staggered correct. In.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank
you.
Well, I have one for Satish, but... Well, this is sort of a general policy question for you. Would it be possible to develop a formula that would give you an average of the total government expenses for an agency per $100? Say, this fee is $35. The total cost on this corporation is going to be $37 per $100, all fees. I know we don't do that. Is that technically possible?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that would be a statewide issue, and we can try. We'd have to coordinate with all the different agencies that would be charging on businesses, but we sure can try.
Would that be, would your agency, Department of Administrative Services, would if something were technically possible, is that who would do it? Or would it be revenue or LFO or... Who knows?
Representative Hayden, I think CADAS would take the lead, and we would have to work with revenue and as well as also, like, for example, if it's a liquor license, let me just give an example, we'd have to work with the regulatory agency like the OLCC,
right.
And in this case, like with the Building Codes Division, so CADAS would take the lead and come up with something to answer your question. But I can see that being a major project.
Oh, yeah, I would think so, but once implemented, it'd be just habit. Okay, I'd like to talk to you later about that.
We've got to do that first.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 38 relating to the electrical trade license fee. Any discussion, questions, anything, Representative Johnson?
Well, I guess two things bring comfort to me in looking at this bill. The first one is to have heard from Joe, and secondly, to have the assurance that the independent folks are okay with this. I generally am persuaded when an industry comes forward and says, we need a fee increase to do a certain thing. Failing that, this is I would not be supportive of this.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave it to others to discuss the emergency clause, because I think there's a paucity of information about the effect of that first third of fees being gone. But had it not been for the conversation with the trades and the assurance that the independent folks are okay with this, I'd have been a no. I could support it now, and I have no hard feeling about the emergency clause one way or another.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Hayden?
Well, yeah, I'm a little ambivalent about it also, but even though the agency thinks it's a good idea, and NECA thinks it's a good idea, and IBEW thinks it's a good idea, they pass those costs on to the people who buy houses, you know, factories and so on. I don't know if anybody consulted them. I mean, they just pass it through. They don't pay it, so really, what do they care?
Thank you, Representative Hayden. For the discussion?
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if we did remove the emergency clause declaring the emergency effective July 1st, 2001, we really need additional information as to what the effect would be and whether or not there could be other efficiencies found in the programs that are administered under the Building Codes Division to accommodate, if it's a fully, truly a one-third as opposed to a one-fourth, that's the difference of the difference between $180,000 and $135,000. And if it affects only the prisons and light rail positions and training time for those folks, we need to know that, I think. So I would like to have that additional information before we, and perhaps by the power of which you have of being able to carry a bill over from one day to the next, we could go ahead and postpone the balance of the work session until tomorrow if we could get that information tomorrow.
Think we could get that by tomorrow?
I see not.
So you are saying we can carry it over without the 24?
You can if you don't conclude it here. You just do it by your own power, mm-hmm, to just carry it forward.
I had no idea.
I'm sorry.
It's a controversial decision, but it's why LFO claims we can do so.
Okay. If it's not controversial among this committee, then we shall do that. Okay, we will carry this issue over.
I just wanted to make a comment. And probably a lot of my reaction today is the fact that I did 2 town hall meetings Saturday, and I didn't recall anyone in there saying, could you please make us pay more for something? But the other thing is, we listened during regular hearing on the DCBS budget that buildings started going down in Oregon, or slowing down, a couple of years ago. And I haven't noticed any plan within the agency for how they're going to adjust to a slowdown. I'm one of the first people to get on the phone if we don't have electrical inspections and say, how come you're not out there inspecting them? Because this is a matter of life and death here. But I guess at this point I'm just not, the economy is shifting and I'm not inclined to reward an agency that hasn't taken the time to look to see what they're actually going to need over the next 2 years as opposed to simply funding the current service level. Now, there are others where a slowdown in the economy means that they're going to need more, and they're going to have more customers. But this is one of those, and so I think it might be worthwhile for them to take a good look. And if removing the emergency clause assists in doing that, then that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Johnson.
I agree with everything that Senator Dukes just said, but I would also like the agency on the record in the hearing saying that there's not going to be a diminution of services as a response to the legislature not allowing their fees. I don't want some punitive action taken on somebody waiting for an inspection or some performance by the agency, and the agency throws its hands up and says, the legislature made us do it. I say that respectfully. But I would like to conclude the record with having some assurance that we're not going to penalize people.
Thank you, Representative.
Madam Chair, it's just occurred to me to have some electrical work this summer.
No, you're not.
I don't know how many months it's going to take to get that inspected.
You can tell the vote's taken, you're still at the top of the list.
Oh, boy. Any further discussion? Lori, I think you and Mr. Brewer and everyone understand what the committee needs so we can move on this tomorrow. Okay? That's understood. We are adjourned.
Just carry this over until tomorrow.
Madam Chair, this was not the business.